Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
You can get an Aston Martin that's 10 years old for less than $50,000 these days.
Yes. Yeah, I know, but you haven't looked at the bank account. I still want to educate my son. Thank you. We have to take a break.
To be fair, Oscar, it would have to be much, much, much less than $50,000. $2,000.
It really depends on the year.
I want to get a better internet connection. Right, it's just like trying to tell my kid he can't have a Nerf gun. It doesn't work.
No.
I could do it all day long until I'm blue in the face, but it wasn't worth. So that's it. And way to go, Carla. Get him a Nerf machine gun for Easter. That says nothing says celebrate our Lord more than giving your kid a pretend machine gun.
Hey, what's wonderful. This in your basket, young boy? Oh, it's a machine gun.
Yes, sir. And on the third day, he rose. Speaking of that, you might be getting some news on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oh, yeah. Soon. Oh, yeah.
There's a little tease. There's a little informal, casual tease.
Yeah.
I know a lot of you are waiting for it, so wait a little longer, and it's on the way. It's coming.
Like you say, so if you're waiting, keep waiting.
Keep waiting. So if you're waiting, keep waiting.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
The gift that keeps on giving for me as an elderly father rears its ugly head, I would venture to say, once per quarter. I usually engage in this. Yeah. 2 days ago, it might have been last week, actually. No, it was last week. Or was it 2 days ago? This is Thursday.
Yes, it is. All day.
I'm old, so just bear with me. I don't know exactly what day it was, but I think it was this week. So I pick my little guy up at, and by the way, there's a member down here at Cocoonville Central Elderly Country Club and Nursing Home that that doesn't like that I call him the little guy. Now, he's a ball buster, so he likes the bus. He'll say, how's the little guy? He's your son. Call him by his name. Is the little guy around? I say, I'm going to smack him one day. I'm just going to walk up and cold
cock sort of a That's right sort there. Of a pushy position to take.
Hey, well, he's your you son. You know what fathers do in America? And I understand him. He was a teacher. He was a band leader. He was a guy that was an educator, and he was very revered as an educator. And, oh, God, would he love this if he knew I was talking about him.
Jim, how do you know he was revered? Did he tell you he was revered?
No, I heard the stories about what they did for him. So, yeah.
Colored with the passage of time.
No, see, you're not helping me. He's right. Not here. You're going to make my life more difficult.
I'm on your side, you know.
I know you are. So he dealt with children. But I do think he has a point in that fathers, in particular, refer to their... What would be the number one word that fathers use for their sons? Buddy. Come on, buddy.
Buddy's big,
Let's
yeah.
go, buddy. And I say it. It's a crutch. It's a crutch. I don't like it when I say it, but I say it, and it's a crutch, and it's not cool, but I do it all the time. Hey, buddy, let's go. Get out of the car, buddy. You know, and
I
then,
use
you know,
son, and I, but I think it's because when
son,
I get, if I
son
get,
is very like a TV dad from the 50s. Which
but,
is kinda,
but if I get,
son,
if I get
son,
worked up,
you're never going to get ahead with that attitude, son.
If I get worked up and I look for his name, 9 times out of 10, I'll call Robert Linus.
Linus?
Yeah, because they get me.
I think most people do that.
Yeah. Linus, Robert, name. Damn it.
My dad calls me Chico, which is boy. That way he never messes up between this family and the other family. Because if he has boys,
Chico.
Yeah. It's boys.
Chico, don't be discouraged, the man.
So anyway, I say the little man, I pick him up at school, and he really loves it when I pick him up instead of mommy. So not that he doesn't like mommy. He likes mommy more than daddy. But what a great theme. This is one of the great TV theme songs of all time. I'll do a little talk up for you right now. Freddie Prinze killed himself, unfortunately.
Yes.
Jack Albertson, terrific guy. And John Sebastian singing one of the great songs of all time.
Chico. Ooh. Don't be discouraged.
Point of order. Jose
wasn't
Feliciano.
John Sebastian.
No, you're thinking of Welcome Back, Cotter. Very
I thought
close.
John Sebastian wrote it.
But this is it's a Jose Feliciano song.
No, John Sebastian wrote Welcome Back, Cotter.
But he also sang that, yeah. So, but they're both, you know, Mike, you're good to be confused because both produced by James Comack.
See what he does.
It's Chico.
Now he thinks he's on Jeopardy.
What is James Comack?
Oh, by the way, I hope we get to that. That total, the big dollar amount.
Oh, yeah.
James Holzhauer.
Damn.
James Holzhauer. Yeah. Family, he'll be a household name by the end of this week.
Yeah.
I mean, a real household name where everybody will be talking about this guy. He's a Terminator. I turned that off. So anyway, so Buddy, the little man, I'm picking him up at school.
Yeah.
And as I pick him up at school, these two ladies who appear to be older are coming in with another small child.
Right.
And so I hold the door for him. And the way it works at my kid's school is there's a lobby with a front desk and you wait for the little parade of rugrats to come down the hall. And I'm there at about 2:45 and usually pick up is anywhere between then and 3 p.m. 3:15 if you're a slacker parent.
Sure.
But we've been on that end a couple of times. Michael, get in the car. One of those deals. So 2:45, 3.
So I'm sad when you see a child standing alone after everyone else has been picked up. I've been there. They don't look happy.
It's not cool.
No, standing alone by the sign that says bus lane only. Just standing by themselves.
Very sad.
That was
very,
my entire childhood.
Big eyes.
It was
had to walk home.
So sad.
Oh, Latchkey Chico.
Kid. Yeah.
Chico, come on. Come on, Chico.
I was hoping my mom left the long spoon out so I could turn on the lights.
Yeah, but don't be discouraged.
So so we get there. Two older ladies and a child and me. And I hold the door for them.
How older is older?
Oh, boy. I'm going to say anywhere between. Let me simply say this.
Okay.
These women have not been burdened with concern over their physical well-being. That's the best way I could describe. So when a woman is not concerned, just like when a man like me is not overly burdened with concern over their physical stature, their physical appearance, they could be anywhere from 48 to 73.
Ah, gotcha.
Yes, we call it the Mama June effect.
It's the Mama June effect, exactly. It's so... they're both there, and one of them appears to be a little older than the other one, and I think she might be there with her friend, but I don't know.
Oh, that's nice when they're together.
And I don't know. I'm not even giving them two thoughts, to be honest with you. I mean, they're there picking up a kid. I'm there picking up a kid. And she sits down. She goes, oh, there's a bench over here. Let's sit down. And they both go over to the bench with the kid running around, and they both sit down. You know, both put their ample.
Yeah.
So anyway, they...
Who doesn't? I'm given the choice, Mike. Given the choice. Wouldn't you rather sit than stand?
Well, no, not in this particular circumstance, Rob, because I am conscious of the parade of 35-year-old fathers that are coming through.
Okay.
And if I am sitting there with my stomach hanging over my shorts as these super dads come in with their high-end tights and their beautiful abs, you know, coming in there, just sitting there, I'm going to appear more schlubby than them. So I stand. And by the way, this is a... minute and a half tops procedure here.
Okay.
I see my kid and I'm out. There is no socializing, not like at other schools. I am sitting there and it's like, oh, there he is. Okay, Miss Mary, thank you. All right, we're out of here and we're in the car.
Mm-hmm.
That's how quick it happens. So as we're sitting and we're waiting, they both sit down. They're breathing heavily because they made it from their SUV to the 16 feet that it took to get to the door. And she goes, you know how older people, you know, kind of, well, here we are. And she looks right at me. She goes, here we are, the grandparents picking up the children again.
Oh, no.
Look, it's nothing I haven't gotten before. It's nothing I haven't gotten before. It just had an interesting twist, which is why I bring it to you. And I look at her immediately, said, oh, no. This is my son. I'm an elderly father. That's the standard line that
I use. That's good. It diffuses the situation.
And she, because I guess she felt in her windedness that she wanted to continue on. Oh, surprise child, huh? And I'm like, no.
What?
And I looked at her, this shut him up. And I look, nope. Third marriage.
Ah.
And they shut the F up. They were done with that one. Didn't like
excellent.
That one. I was not there. I was like, oh. So I was telling Cindy the other day, and it was like immediately they go on to that. And I'm just sitting there kind of looking at him going, so how do you like that? I'm
Mike,
a father.
The Thank best you. Defense is a good offense, and you came out swinging.
Yeah. It still will never come close to the Manassas Giant Food Store. the grocery store when the young lady said, "Your daughter's very pretty." And I said, "I know." And then I planted one on Carla, like
no,
you know, not disgusting, but but romantic enough to, you know, if she had really thought I was her father, she might have wanted to call the authorities.
Mm-hmm.
It was an interesting move like that, but I've gotten it all over the place. You know, it happens.
It seems like it would be commonplace to have older fathers now because people are waiting longer to have children.
People are healthier.
At the other school, there were a couple of them.
Yeah.
And we kind of commiserated because it just, because they're kind of, I don't know. I had a lot in common with them. They mm-hmm. were kind of cool guys. And I chatted. Here, different story altogether.
Yeah.
Here it looks like, you know, if you took these guys' shirts off, you'd have Magic Mike 2.
That's
seriously. And they're all but they have interesting things to say, like anyway,
we're all in our 30s once, right?
Yeah. I was in my 30s once. I wouldn't have had anything to do with me. Fat Santa beard, you know, I would have been like, move out of the way, pops. There you go. I've always wanted to be I strive. If I could wave a magic wand and look the way I wanted to, I would want to be the older guy a la The Natural. You know,
Roy Hobbs.
Robert Redford would have been in his 40s.
Or Wilford Brimley. Which one do you mean?
Well, Wilford Brimley was in his 50s when he played in his 70s.
I know, yeah. As a matter of fact,
when he played
in
Cocoon.
You're now older than Wilford Brimley was when he was in Cocoon. Which actually speaks well to the makeup staff. Because they really made him appear old.
Mine?
No.
My makeup staff?
Yes.
Okay.
Alan's in the chair.
If we have a second here, I want to talk about an interview that Rob and Oscar did. We're going to do it in the first segment here. And this guy's name is Paul Scheer.
Yes.
And they're talking to him today because he wrote the play Scheer Madness.
Exactly. It's all about a crazy barbershop murder.
He invented the Scheers.
He did.
He's of the Scheer family.
Mm-hmm.
And we are in the process on the Mike O'Mara Show of chatting with fellow podcasters because it's an interesting world out there. And those podcasters who are successful and do this very well are, I have to say, an elite group. There are thousands, tens of thousands of podcasts, but there are only a few of them that people really get into. And so we're going to talk to him. He's also an actor.
Yeah, he's in the new Seth Rogen movie that's coming out in May.
Well accomplished.
Yes.
And so we are going to, I was not available because we taped the interview after hours, but I
late
said
at
to
night.
Oscar and Rob, he wants to record at midnight?
Yes, shirtless.
I'll be sleeping. So you boys will be talking to Paul Scheer, and we've got that interview for each and every one of you. Mm-hmm. And I hope you enjoy that. So that's the setup, and we're going to take a little break. We're going to start the show. And when we come back, I'm going to read a little commercial, and then we're going to get right to Oscar and Rob talking to Paul Scheer Madness on The Mike O'Mara Show.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
This is a brutal layoff, and all because they couldn't program Wednesday nights.
You could make it less brutal by knocking a million or so off your salary. Okay. Bad joke. I'm sorry. Awful. It's a miserable day. And that was just some kind of sick defense joke defense mechanism. It just doesn't indicate any of my feelings. Not one.
How you doing?
Great. Network news, Washington. I love it. What do you do when your real life exceeds your dreams?
Keep it to yourself.
I'm a little intimidated with you.
Oh, stop it. You can't talk about feeling intimidated when you're on top of the world. It's unseemly.
I'm not buying into any of that. I have a load to learn. I'm not going to act as if...
You have the job you have.
Shut up for a second.
Okay. Pretty peppy party, isn't it, pal?
I made one rule for myself when this started, and I realized I was going to take a lot from you people because of being from sports.
And that rule was?
Never to pretend to know more than I did.
Can you name all the members of the cabinet?
I am not gonna take a test for you. I mean, if that came up in conversation...
We're conversing. Oh, no, the names of the cabinet have slipped my mind. Say, do you know them?
Okay, don't name them for me. Just tell me if you know.
Yes, Aaron, I know the names of the cabinet.
Okay. All 12?
Yes.
There's only 10.
You're feeling good, aren't you?
I'm starting to, yeah.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
Hey, youngsters, if you haven't seen it, check out Broadcast News. It's an old movie now, because I'm old, and I remember I was a young man when they made that movie, and it's fantastic. Yeah. Holly Hunter, let me see, it's got Albert Brooks in it, and William Hurt, really, really terrific.
Jack Nicholson in a really understated part. That's probably the funniest
little
part
cameo
about it. Yeah.
And a guy that I worked for at NBC Network News, Peter Quinn Hackus.
Oh, neat.
You know, Peter Hackus. Yeah. Pete Hackus was his name. All those old journalists used to roam the hallways, the guys that I'd grown up watching on TV, when I was a desk assistant at NBC Network at the National Press Building in Washington. So that movie is near and dear to my heart. Check out Broadcast News. We are live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., from Beijing, China, to Mountaintop, Pennsylvania, from Baltimore to Playa del Rey, California, from Houston, Texas, to Malacca City, Malaysia. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now and brought to you by our bonus packages. Get ready to celebrate, everybody.
Yay!
Excuse me. Thursday, the 18th of April. I'm drinking diet soda.
Yes, you are.
Before the show starts.
Yes.
Talked about it yesterday. Thursday, the 18th of April, which is today.
Yes.
Is National High Five Day.
Right.
Hey. Oh, look at that. Look at that.
Ow. Hey, Oscar. Yes. Slip me some skin on top. There we go. Right here.
Oh. Oh.
Worst copy ever.
This is great copy. Peter Hackus wrote it.
But more importantly.
Oh, yes.
April 18th is also known as Holy Thursday, which is nice. So please, won't you pray for the bonus show? The bonus show represents all that is pious and good in the world. And if you doubt me, well, just see how long you can listen without yelling, "Jesus, that's funny!" You see, the bonus show is an extra episode of TMOS that you can grab every week if you just have strong faith. So please do. You are in a zone on these. I have to say that. Remember, the future of our show depends on it, and that's a crucifix. Not a crucifixion. The price of our bonus package is guaranteed not to rise. Not even after 3 days. What's wrong with
what
you?
What a silly goose.
You soulless monster.
Oh, it's almost Easter and we're all excited.
So please buy our thing. Just go to MikeOmaraShow.com, click on the bonus banner, you'll get it. You've made me laugh today. You get access to all of our bonus content, and you'll be helping TMOS purchase the 6th episode. So it is written. Let it be done. So he's funny. A funny boy. That is tears through tears. And now, without further ado, Oscar and Rob Spiewak talking to Paul Scheer. Let's roll it, boys.
All right, this is exciting for me because I really like this guy. I'm a big fan. He is the host of the podcast Unspooled. He is an internet superstar. He has a major movie coming out. And the guy who brought Dungeons & Dragons-style dice rolling to movie analysis. Say hi to Paul Scheer. How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing really well. Thank you so much. And I'm so glad that you recognize the Zoidecahedron. I feel like it does not get the love it deserves as our leader in our podcast.
I actually jumped on the Unspooled bandwagon on episode 1 when it dropped. I saw something on Facebook. Oh, wow. And I said, wow, this is a great idea. I'll briefly explain and correct me if I screw this up. There is the AFI top 100 movies of all time. You have a 100-sided die. You roll it, and the die tells you what movie you discuss each and every week.
Exactly.
And also, I got to say congratulations, as this week you drop episode 50.
Very cool.
Nice job.
That's right. Yeah, we're halfway through. We're halfway through, which has been fun. And we're going to actually, now it's so sad that we've been talking about the die. We're going to switch it up a little bit for the last 50 because it's going to get harder to roll a 100-sided die and not get duplicates.
Smart.
So for the last 50, we are going to do a little bit more of a guided journey to get us home. Because we didn't want to also get in a position where we get to episode 100 and have a real bummer of a last episode. So we're trying to, in a week or so, we'll be kind of announcing where we're going to go with that.
I did notice that after about 20 or so episodes, you stopped actually rolling the die on the show, because I imagine you had a lot of duplicates happening.
Well, what we start to do is roll it off camera, because we have to prepare a little bit, too. So we have to get our guests, and then people are like, you're not rolling the die. Believe me, we're rolling the die. It's been amazing the amount of connections is actually made very organically, but it also has been a pain in the butt to roll a 100-sided die, and it always lands on the same exact numbers.
You got loaded dice. That's the problem.
I know. I think we got loaded dice here. We should bring this to a D&D tournament. We'll be ready to go.
You kill all the clerics, done. You and I are roughly the same age. I'm 48 and you're 43?
Yes.
And Oscar's a little younger than us, but all of us, I think we sort of benefit movie-wise from growing up in a sweet spot. We predate home video rentals by a little bit. So I think we grew up watching what was on TV. And I think that's how, at least I found my way to being a big movie fan, because you were kind of, you know, beholden to what was on Channel 5 that night. Was that a similar situation for you?
Yeah. You know, look, I grew up, Star Wars is kind of like my bread and butter movie growing up. Like, that was, I think, my first movie I can really remember. You know, that came out in 1976, which is the year I was born. Not that I saw it that year, but it just felt like it was kind of all-encompassing. So I feel like in the replays of whatever, you know, Showtime or HBO it was, or even like Channel 11 in New York for me,
right,
it was just like watching whatever was on. Yeah, you just would watch whatever was on. But I will say that I think that I don't have an appreciation, or I didn't have an appreciation for the classics. I did have more of an appreciation for the crappy movies of my youth. It was like, ooh, Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon's on again?
Yes.
I'm watching it.
Yeah, man, I'm all in.
Yeah, it's like Michael Keaton in Gung Ho. I'll see that movie 12 times in a row, you know? So I was kind of beholden to the movies that existed around me. So I think I have a really good knowledge, like most people, I think, of the movies that kind of are in your world, you know, what you grew up with. And now this podcast has been really fun because it allows me to kind of go back and, like a book club, watch and talk about these like classic films, some of which I've never even seen, and just kind of see exactly where they've influenced all the movies that I actually love.
If you want to follow Paul, at Paul Scheer on Twitter. And I'm on your feed now, and as we geared up for this interview, I was like, I wonder what Paul's up to the last few days. And the idea that, look, your podcast, you get to discover old films that are, you know, great, depending on what your viewpoint is, and really review them, but I feel like even from one of your latest posts, I don't know if you know this, Rob, but Paul finally like got to see Bumblebee, the latest iteration of what your Transformers franchise is offering.
Which, by the way, is at number 101. So it will not make Unspooled this time.
But in a different world, you wrote what I felt when I saw in the theater, because I went with my niece and nephew, was that this was actually a good Transformers movie.
I am not prone to like the Transformers. I've seen so many of those movies and they put me to sleep. Like literally, I'm like, I get just tired. I don't know who's fighting. I don't know what they're doing. There's no personality. I'm like, I'm just watching people run. And this movie actually, like, it reminded me, I think someone said it online after I wrote that, like a dumbed down version of Iron Giant. And I'm like, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm in. I'll take a dumbed down version of Iron Giant.
The soundtrack was phenomenal. I felt like I was watching, and it made me feel, and you talk about your emotions, like, I can't believe I'm actually typing this since I've never felt emotion before when I've watched one of these movies. I felt like I was almost a kid again, a younger man watching this film for the first time.
It felt like an 80s movie with 2019 technology. And that was really fun. It just was like, I was just surprised at everything. You know, I feel like I need to see a little bit more John Cena for, you know, I feel like if I was calling the shots, I'd put a little bit more Cena in there.
Sure.
Enough for the sequel.
Yeah.
I want to talk more about Unspooled, which you host with Amy Nicholson. And I got to ask, she is such a magnificent compliment to you. How did you guys meet, and was it instant, the chemistry? Because you two together are really like two sides of the same coin, and I find your discourse fascinating.
Oh, well, you're so nice to say it.
He's never said that about me.
I don't feel that about you.
Congratulations.
No, you know, Amy's this amazing critic, and I think the thing that I've always really liked about her is her ability to not go with the flow. I've read her stuff before I ever did anything with her. And the first two things I ever did with her was these podcasts that she was doing on this show called The Canon. We debated whether or not Ghostbusters should belong in the canon of great films. And then she brought me on to talk about The Room because I was in the movie The Disaster Artist. And we kind of broke it down. And I think what I like about Amy is she's not snobby, but she can be very critical and in a very weird, fun ways. And I just feel like she's so unpredictable. Whenever I go into the studio with her, I don't know what she's going to say, but I know that it's going to be thoughtful and fun. And I think for a critic, she really keeps that idea alive. She loves going to see movies. Like, it's not like a burden to her. This is what she loves to do. It's just fun to talk to somebody who's a movie lover, but also incredibly smart, and then also just very particular in her taste.
I love older films. I think one of the most fascinating things, and I've sold this podcast, Unspooled, to many people on this. I say,
you're so nice.
It is so cool to listen to knowledgeable film buffs seeing an older movie that I'm familiar with, but they've never seen it. It allows me to see the movie through virgin eyes. And it's so much fun to see a first reaction of a movie that I've seen a million times. The first episode that you guys had, Citizen Kane, was just so brilliant because neither of you were overly familiar with Kane. And it's a movie I've seen 100 times. And to hear you guys talk about it was great. Are you ever disappointed? Are you surprised? What is that like when you see a movie that has a great reputation that precedes it, and then you're seeing it for the first time?
Watching these movies on this list, they're all good. And then some are just mind-blowing. And Citizen Kane, obviously, to no surprise. But I just kind of drag my feet trying to watch it. And I talk to so many people who, you know, they're like, yeah, Citizen Kane, I've never seen it. And I think the idea is, for a lot of people, like myself, like, you look at these films and you go, like, oh, well, they're not going to be fun. They're not going to be, I don't want to pop that in. And I also am like a big fan of like Preston Sturges.
Sure.
They do have an appreciation for these movies, but like Citizen Kane felt like, oh, that feels like homework to me. And I feel like a lot of people felt like, oh, that's a homework movie. And when you watch it, it's so engaging. And I think what I'm blown away by, you know, with that film, with Treasure of the Sierra Madre, these movies, they could be released today. They are as timely and just engaging as anything in the theater. And I think that is what I'm always blown away by. I'm like, wow, I think I've really rediscovered Frank Capra. Like, I think you hear this term like, oh, it's very Capra-esque. And that's become like this term for like being saccharine. But he's so funny and so biting and cynical. I almost feel like that word, you know, his name has been synonymous with what he actually did not make. And so that has been kind of amazing for me.
You bring up a very valid point. I mean, there is nothing more cynical than the fourth act of It's a Wonderful Life. When, I mean, man, that's dark.
And you don't think about it like that. And I feel like that's the thing that's been fun.
Yes.
It's like, you know, we're inundated with so many things to watch, from YouTube to TV. There's movies and TV shows coming out every single day, and like a series of them. So it's hard to pick something, and I feel like a lot of people just have an aversion to going backwards, where I think you were saying earlier, where you and I kind of grew up in this idea where there wasn't that many choices. I would watch a movie 10 times in a row. I don't think that kids are doing that now. I think that it's like on to the next one.
Yeah.
So it's fun to kind of slow down and be like, well, let's go back to the past. And then you actually see all these amazing influences. Like, I mean, Treasure of the Sierra Madre, which is this episode we're talking about this week, you know, that was the inspiration for There Will Be Blood. And you see so much stuff, so much connection in that, you know, and talking about Charlie Chaplin's films and talking about like No Country for Old Men. Like, there's all these like interesting connections that you start to see all your favorite filmmakers. It's almost like a great grand puzzle.
You mentioned that there's such a vast amount of entertainment out there. Take a step and look back and actually see some of the actors that you know you've never seen, like in their, I guess would say their early 20s and even teens, depending on what. Does that change your perspective on the genius you thought was original and maybe was captured early or influenced by another film?
You know, that's a good question. I think that everybody, you know, when you create, you're always using your influences, right? And I think, I don't know if I feel like it takes away from, you know, if you see James Cameron do something that was done by, you know, John Huston or whatever. It's like, I don't think it takes away, but it actually kind of gives you the better story. You know,
context.
It's a prequel, if you will,
yes,
of all the movies that we love. Yeah.
We loved you in The League. You're great on Veep. Fresh Off the Boat, we love. Wet Hot American Summer, fantastic. Oh. The fact that you recreated the opening to Bosom Buddies, I've watched that so many times.
Oh, my gosh.
If you ever, folks, treat yourself, go to the greatest event in television history, and that's not overselling it. The Bosom Buddies and the Heart to Heart, both fantastic. But
so funny.
But you produce, you write, you do voices, you act, sketch comedy, you do charity work. Why do you podcast? Are you in it for that sweet podcast money? Because
gotta get in for that money. No, you know what it is for me? It's like I grew up starting off my career with the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater,
yes,
which is this improv comedy theater. And, you know, they've now grown and they're huge. It's Amy Poehler and Matt Walsh and Matt Besser and Ian Roberts. And what was kind of great about that theater was you get up every week, you know, sometimes three or four times a week. And I still get up and do an improv show every Wednesday night with Jason Manzoukas from the league and Rob Hubel from the league and Human Giant. I love the idea. Like, podcasting feels like a fun, not disposable, but it just feels like, oh, I can get to do a show. No matter what's going on, there's a chance to get up and do something. I don't know. I have a love of podcasts, and I also feel like it's easy and kind of fun. I don't know. Like, you know, I grew up with radio too, and so I love that.
That's
thing.
Great.
I don't think I put much thought into it more than we started doing How Did This Get Made, which is my bad movie podcast.
Right.
Before podcasts were even a thing. It was just sort of like, I liked radio. I used to host a radio show in New York on K-Rock, and I was like, oh, I want to get back into doing that, and that'll be fun. And then you just kind of, it's just great, it's fun, it's easy, and it feels to me like low pressure and a lot of fun. And it's a great way to kind of, as a performer, you go down for periods of time. Like, you know, we just finished up Black Monday, and that will come back out, you know, probably in another year. So it allows you to kind of stay present in people's minds and keep on doing things, and, you know, you don't just disappear for a while.
Do you think that right now, I mean, we've seen the decline of terrestrial radio as podcast rises.
Right.
Is this the golden age for the improv comic? Because you see so many people that would sort of just, you know, hit the stage every Monday night and, you know, yeah, do their improv. But now these people are doing their same acts and bringing their brilliance that's distributing worldwide with the click of a mouse.
It's certainly a disruptor.
Yeah.
Look, you know, growing up, all I did was try to get my hands on comedy albums and watch Saturday Night Live and just try to get as much comedy as you could possibly get. And I think, you know, now you can basically, if you like somebody, they're putting out a comedy album every week. I mean, it's not right, like a stand-up album, but, you know, you're doing an hour-long podcast every week, and it is so fun. Like, it's been amazing for How Did This Get Made. We tore around the country, and we played, like, the Brooklyn Academy of Music. We did, like, 4,000 people in one night, two shows back-to-back, and, you know, Unspooled, I think we're going to go out on the road a little bit, too. So it's amazing that you can kind of start to tour around with stuff that is a little bit left of center. It used to have just be like, you have to be a stand-up and that's it. And I'm not a stand-up. I do sketch and do improv. And now I can kind of do some other things on the road and people want to come out and see it. You know, you were kind of expanding people's worldview of what is comedy and what do you want to go see.
Is it K-Rock in New York or Carol Q in L.A.?
I was K-Rock in New York.
Okay.
I used to host this like weird overnight shift with
that is
Jake
great.
Holmes. Yeah.
You know, we come from a world of radio here in the D.C. area as well. Yeah. And we have friends on both sides, but you were there when it was traditional K-Rock and Booker was on the air and you had that entire slate of like this dream team of on-air talent, correct?
Yeah, it was basically Howard Stern in the morning. We were doing like a late night show, but Booker was there. Yeah, it was a crazy little period. And I would do like, we did this show for a bit of time, and then basically they asked us to come back and do more, but it was a weird overnight shift. It was like kind of like I think like 10 to 1 or something like that.
The love line shift.
Yeah, and it was just a little hard to like live life and then be doing that, you know, every night, which, you know, you guys know, yeah.
That slot is, and I know what you're talking about. Because
it's most often described as weird.
Yes, but it is the best slot when you're doing radio because you're in the safe harbor place, but you also have an audience. Even when if it's music or talk based, whatever it is,
yeah.
K-Rock would let you talk a little more than traditional radio stations. Because they had
Absolutely.
That built-in Stern mentality. But that time and in New York City to have that experience, I mean, that's priceless.
It was so much fun. And I think that people did not know what we were doing. We were, you know, we playing music, like you said, primarily, like, you know, you say like 75% music and 25% talk. And we'd have our friend Jerry Minor, very funny comedian who's been on a ton of different things, including Mr. Show, call in as Billy D. Williams. He's calling in because he just got a home invasion. So we're talking to him post-home invasion. And, you know, and it was done with no context. You know, so people are just like, all right, we got Billy D. Williams on the phone. And they're like, oh, gosh, this man came into my house and tied me up. Chewy. And it was like, and I don't know what the majority of people were thinking. Yeah. You know, because it was, and we were playing it pretty straight because then following that, we'd have like Ben Lee, the musician, come in and play songs. So you're like, okay, well, they are having like real talented people come in. And I think that we had a lot of fun playing in that idea of like doing these like fun bits.
It's so great.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Movie nerd question. And I've kept it to myself as long as I can. 1939 or 1976, which is the better year for movies?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, I'm actually reading a book, and I'm going to answer your question, but I'm actually reading a book right now about 1999. It's called The Best Movie Year Ever.
Ah.
And they make a case that 1999 being one of the best years. It's like so many of these influential films came out in 1999. It will blow your mind if you Google like 1999 movies. You're like, oh, wow. So now I'm really in that mindset that 1999 is great. But I think, I think I'm going to go with, just because it's the year of my birth, I'm going to go with 1976 because I think it brings this new wave of filmmakers.
Sure.
And, you know, and I feel like their effects from that year really go forward, you know. So I feel like that, like, I'll end up there. But I'm also going to pump that book, The Best Movie Year Ever, because I feel like it's worthwhile to put 1999 in the discussion.
I want to congratulate you. The Long Shot, your movie that's coming out with Seth Rogen and Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
It's apparently
May,
dropping on May 3rd. And also, you comic book aficionados, Ghost Rider destroys Marvel history. You wrote a comic book that came out last month, right?
It comes out every month, yes. So it's for 6 months. The book two just came out, and book three will come out next month. So super fun way to kind of celebrate Marvel's history through this nihilistic character who's half Punisher, half Ghost Rider.
That's all well and good, but the main focus here is Unspooled. Episode number 50 drops this week. They will be reviewing The Treasure of Sierra Madre. Fantastic movie. Oscar, you must watch it if only to watch Walter Houston dance.
Oh my gosh, amazing. Improvised. That dance is improvised. That movie is a fantastic movie. I recommend anyone. That should be the homework assignment we give them right now. Like, go watch Treasure of Sierra Madre and then listen to the podcast. I don't think you'll be disappointed.
Love
it. Paul Scheer, thank you for being so kind with your time. Check out Unspooled, and that you can check out at earwolf.com or wherever you get your podcast. Have a great day, Paul.
Thanks, guys.
Congrats. I don't know what I'd say. Love is
line is ringing. The Yak Shack line is ringing.
It's time to cheer. The Yak Shack's here. So come up when you're full of beer. We're all in store for fun rapport. Call 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-MORE.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This portion of the program brought to you by Cornerstone. Here's some powerful news from Cornerstone First Financial. The economy is softening, and because of that, interest rates are down, down, down. They're the lowest they've been in a full year. Chances are there will be no interest rate hikes this year, thanks to inflationary pressure that never happened. Rates are back around 4%. That's a good rate.
Yes.
And with the spring home market in full swing, it's time to act. A lot of people making moves in the spring. Whether you're buying, refinancing, or consolidating debt, Cornerstone guarantees you the lowest rate. Work with the friends of TMOS and save some dough. They're good folks. Now licensed in California, along with Maryland, Virginia, D.C., Georgia, Florida, and Colorado. Click their banner on our website. Visit cornerstonefirst.com or simply call them at 866-625-1221. Cornerstone First Financial. Personal attention from application to closing, and we thank them. That was a fascinating discussion with Paul Scheer. 1999 movies. I'm thinking off the top of my head. I don't know. What do we have?
I think we
Sixth
got
Sense.
I think we have Titanic. I think we have Sixth Sense. I think maybe Avatar was 99.
Now, do we think or do we know? Let's find out for sure. Because when you said that at the end of that interview, I suddenly said to myself, the 1939 would be what? It's a Wonderful Life, Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz, Gone with the Wind, Stagecoach. It's... people say that is the highlight of the studio system.
The golden year
the
of
golden year.
Movies.
But
and then 19, what is 1976? The Godfather, French Connection?
Taxi Driver, a lot of transitional movies in 76.
Boy, it's weird. I feel old when I think of
You've
Taxi
got The
Driver
Matrix, Fight Club. You've got John Malkovich. The Sixth Sense, as we mentioned earlier. The Blair Witch Project. I'm not going to mention Three Kings, but American Beauty was fantastic. Office Space, Magnolia, Toy Story 2, American Pie.
And then if you go
Insider.
76, you have Rocky, Taxi Driver, The Omen, Carrie, Network, Bad News Bears, Silver Streak, Freaky Friday, Car Wash. These are all, you know, these are movies.
You know what? You know what I get from all these lists? I get all these lists. Yeah, there's some iconic films in all three of those years.
Right.
But they're not all incredible.
Be all end
all.
Like,
I wouldn't call Gone with the Wind a Stagecoach. I wouldn't call it the same level. I think Gone with the Wind is amazing. Stagecoach, it's a good Western.
Well, Stagecoach, you know? I mean, there's a case could be made for the fact that it was the first Western that was based on character and not shoot 'em up. So it sort of set a template.
But you know, it's
a
really
good movie.
It's really hard when you try to pick one year.
You can't, because every year has something great about it.
You know what would be easier is finding years that are just total crap.
Yeah.
Because there have been those.
Yes.
A few of those. Yes, Oscar.
99 also had Notting Hill, Eyes Wide Shut, as we talked about here.
I love Stanley Kubrick.
The Green Mile. Which is
a fantastic
movie. Mm-hmm.
A lot of good movies in 99.
Girl Interrupted.
Maybe we're still a little too close to it to realize it. You know,
I think you might be right about that. I didn't realize they were all in 1999. And a lot of great movies, mm-hmm. a lot of those movies achieved most of their popularity long after their theatrical release.
True.
I think that happens, you know, with that. I mean, The Green Mile. You never know why you go back to a movie.
The classic
example
is Shawshank. Which was,
Shawshank
Redemption fell
was not
flat.
A theatrical success.
Fell flat. And then, I mean, then Turner started showing it every 6 hours. And now it's, I mean, people realize, I mean, it's always on TV. But.
I don't understand why it wasn't more popular in the theaters. I just don't understand. And now I'm simply going to play God every year.
Special nod of 99 Varsity Blues, Never Been Kissed, for those of you that are into that. The Thomas Crown Affair. I'm still a big fan of
that's
movie.
A great movie.
Is that the Pierce Brosnan Thomas Crown Affair?
Yes.
Yeah, but the
pretty good movie.
Pretty good remake. Pretty good movie. I mean, it's odd that a movie that the remake is as good as the original, and I think they're both great.
Yeah, I just clamor. That's good. I'm glad you talked with Paul about movies because first of all, what a nice guy. What a really
good
really
guy.
Cool guy. We wish him nothing but the best and. You know, that only that one part when you were talking about, you know, you don't need it. You know, he's promoting his own podcast. You don't need to promote it for him, Rob. Just my opinion.
Just being cordial.
And it, well, you know, when he said he goes out and they get 4,000 people, it's like, you know, and I was sitting here just going. speaking of that, you might be getting some news on the Mike O'Meara show.
Oh, yeah. Soon. Oh, yeah.
There's a little tease. There's a little informal, casual tease.
Yeah.
I know a lot of you are waiting for it, so wait a little longer, and it's on the way. It's coming.
Mike, you say, so if you're waiting, keep waiting.
Keep waiting. So if you're waiting, keep waiting. No, when I start talking about it, you know it's close.
Yes, this is true.
So, you know, I'm not going to give you a date yet because we haven't talked about it yet.
No.
Right? But, yeah. I can't help my competitive radio nature when I listen to you two interview another podcaster. It's ridiculous. There are tens of thousands of these, but I still, you know, when I hear that, I go out and get 4,000. I
wonder how that would have played if that's how we replied to him. When he said, we get that.
Aren't you special? Aren't you Mr. Special, Mr. But we've never been in movies, so we're in a different
The guy's a celebrity on multiple different platforms.
Yeah. I know he is. Yeah, I'm okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Oscar, I just want to tell you this. If you're waiting,
keep waiting.
That's right.
Thank you. Okay. So, one of them lets me know I'm not a big celebrity. The other one lets me know that I don't say things correctly. Feeling good about myself now. Anyway, what was I going to say?
Can we talk cars? Please don't let
us skip. No. I want to talk about movies because I've been meaning to talk to both of you that here's how I base this. I get together with my wife probably every two weeks,
right.
Want to go see a movie. And we look, and it's just, there's nothing, there's superhero. And this is the time, of year for, there's nothing
or is
worth
it, the time,
it out there.
Is
They're
it,
all getting like 30% ratings.
Is it the time of our lives? Because the number one movie last week was Shazam, right? And I look at the previews and the clips and the commercials for Shazam, and it really looks like a sketch on Electric Company from when we were little, like when they used to do Spider-Man on the Electric Company. It looks sort of Mickey Mouse.
But that's all we have right now.
But that's all we've got, and that's number one.
Hold on. Let me go in here and get this.
So I felt the same
thing. Oh, and there's Hellboy.
I thought it was for kids.
Yeah. The young youngsters.
Apparently it's not. From the
nudity?
People I've talked to. And I want to hate them for loving this movie, but they say that this movie has a lot of what you just talked about, a throwback.
Well, you destroyed all your credibility, though, because you said the people you talk to. The people you talk to are picking Cheetos out of their beards. I mean, that's,
talk
to film critics?
I'm like, they're the ones that had the survey about the dirty beards.
As of, I would say, 4 or 5 years ago, I don't even look at what critics give on the tomato meter
anymore. Oh, my wife will love that because she says that to me all the time. I like to know what I don't necessarily
like what
have to look at
wants.
What the critic. I don't. Well, the critic. I'm not. I base it on audience and critics, Oscar.
I only value the word of Gene Shalit. That's how I go into it.
No, but I mean, if you look, I don't care that I talk about Rotten Tomatoes, and Carl always says Rotten Tomatoes is what we have. Rotten Tomatoes is a clearinghouse for audience and critical. Reviews.
True.
Okay. Their percentage scores I have found to be overwhelmingly reliable. I don't want to say 100% reliable, but they are, they're fairly reliable.
And you see, Mike, it's not the gold standard. It's not the gold standard, but it certainly is the industry standard. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's what we've got. So you've got to go with it and take it.
So you go, let's go to top of box office. Okay. Right? You have your Shazam. $24.6 million.
Right.
Now that's for top box office, that's not that big a deal.
Soft weekend.
Right? Wait, is that this past week?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the movie's been in the theater for 3 weeks.
I guess that's the past week.
I would look at the total toe.
Yeah, but that's still a soft week for the box office.
That is, but it's not. I'm giving it a 91%. That's getting 91% of moviegoers and critics together, giving that a combination score of 91%. Mm-hmm. Then you have Little at 46%.
That's another variation on Big, where a grown-up becomes a little kid.
Ooh. Yeah. Hellboy, 15%.
Good
another
looking
cartoon, right?
It's a, well,
cartoon.
It's a sexy.
I mean, not a cartoon, but another comic
yeah,
book
yeah,
movie.
Essentially, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Needed that. Pet Sematary. There was a lot of hope for that one,
yes.
But I didn't. I looked at it and I said, you know, it was a crappy movie the first time. It's a crappy movie the second time. 58%. Dumbo. Went to see Dumbo. My kid liked it. 47%. Spot on.
That's
give
about
it a good,
right.
Solid 47%. Mm-hmm. Then you have Captain Marvel, another superhero, 78%. The big one that I did not like that came out from Jordan Peele, Us,
yes.
94%.
Hang
and
in
then
there.
Missing Link. Is that a cartoon?
Stop that, Jim.
Is that what I think it's a cartoon?
Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
They're only 50%.
Celebrity voices.
Is it the
that,
time
yeah.
of year or are we... I always wonder, I think I have this discussion every year about movies that it's just...
I think this is traditionally where they roll stuff out that they don't have great expectations for.
When did comic books become required every week? When did it become required?
When there became tentpole blockbuster market movers. Like that's what they
do. You have any more cliches you can work in that sentence?
The age of the idiot. I mean,
well,
that's it.
We've got the end.
There's nothing to them.
We've got Avengers Endgame coming out, like next weekend. That's
and that's a big deal.
April 26th.
Massive.
But that's also we're getting closer to summer now. They're burning out the stuff in the springtime because they release the big movies this summer and holidays, Christmas and New Year and Thanksgiving.
I'm getting very, very frustrated. I want gangsters.
Got the Highwaymen on Netflix.
Highwaymen is good.
The Highwaymen was terrific. It was maybe that's where I have to go. Speaking of entertainment, I think is anybody watching Killing Eve season 2? Anybody watch it?
My wife loves that show. I cannot get into it for some reason.
You can't get in? Really?
No, I just don't know why.
I know why you can't get into it. I know. I think I know. I think
why?
I know.
Why?
Tell me if I'm right. You promise you'll be honest with me about
this? Of
course.
I have nothing to lose.
You can't get into it because the contract killer isn't hot enough.
Not my type. Not my type.
Yeah.
She has the potential to be spectacular, but they ugly her up so much on that show that I think she doesn't have that sex appeal. Now she does when she tries to, but she also tries to be like she's getting the crap beaten out of her all the time. But Oscar, if you got into this character of her psychosis, it's just so spectacular.
But Shannon loves
She's
it. I know that.
She's a monster.
I remember
She's
liking...
She's a monster. Villanelle. That is the name of the character. Villanelle okay. is spectacular.
Okay.
And Sandra Oh is one of the great actresses of our time. I really believe
I liked
that.
When
She's
I watched
fantastic.
The hunks of season 1. This is on Netflix, right? And it's season 2 has dropped? I'd like to get into that.
Well, no, I mean, it's also on AMC.
Oh, okay.
I think that's right. where you get it.
That's
I
where it lives?
I don't know if it's Netflix. I watch it. I DVR
AMC.
But anyway, check it out, Killing Eve. It's one of the better shows that's out there right now. But as far as going into a theater, buying a little popcorn, sitting in the movies right now, unless you want to see comic.
You know what would make Killing Eve good is what if she could fly?
Yeah, and put on a suit.
That's right.
Put on a scary suit. No, but you know what? Hey, I can't buck the trend, right? I mean,
right.
It's just like trying to tell my kid he can't have a Nerf gun. It doesn't work.
No.
I could do it all day long until I'm blue in the face, but it wasn't worth. So that's it. And way to go, Carla. Get him a Nerf machine gun for Easter. That says, nothing says celebrate our Lord more than giving your kid a pretend machine gun.
Hey, what's this in your basket, young boy? Oh, it's a machine gun.
Yes, sir. And on the third day, he rose. We'll take a break, come back with more fun on the Mike O'Mara Show. Caution, ladies and gentlemen, the promo starts now.
O'Reilly here. Hey, did you know the Mike O'Mara Show is always looking for interns? Did you know that? Huh? Did you know that? Well, you should. Of course they are. You know, interns, they show up, they get coffee, they help out. You know the drill. And if you're a college kid and you want to get your foot in the broadcast door, just email your resume and a letter of intent to Rob, that's with two B's, at MikeO'MaraShow.com. That's SpeeWack Kid. He's your liaison. SpeeWack! Best of all, every intern at TMOS is treated with respect and class, a professional environment. And if that part doesn't matter to you, I have a podcast too. Come intern at The Factor, where things can get a little handsy. Know what I mean? We'll do it live! Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Sleep Number. I've been talking about it for years. I love Sleep Number. This is a product that's been in my house for years and years and years. And I love it so much that I'm about ready to go to my Sleep Number store and pick me up another brand new one.
Nice.
I've had it for many years, and I love it so much. There's never been a better time to save on proven quality sleep. Now, during the Ultimate Sleep Number event, a Queen 360 smart bed starts at only $899. So many couples disagree on mattress firmness. My wife and I do.
Sure.
My wife and I disagree on everything about sleep. I like to sleep with the platform up. She never touches it. She leaves it flat as a pancake.
And doesn't she sleep with with a Nerf machine gun too, doesn't she?
She does. She does. Yeah, sitting there under her pillow. Couples disagree, but you can get that problem solved with a Sleep Number bed. Lets you choose your ideal firmness. The Sleep Number 360 smart bed. They're so smart, they even sense your every move and automatically adjust to you. Plus, Sleep Number has been ranked highest in customer satisfaction with mattresses by J.D. Power. For the 2018 award information, just visit jdpower.com. My Sleep Number setting is a 90. Carla's is a 65. We love it. Come in during the Ultimate Sleep Number event and save 50% on a Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed. Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. You'll only find Sleep Number at one of their 575 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Visit sleepnumber.com/TMOS to find the one nearest you. And when you do, tell them that Mike O'Mara sent you. We've been trying to talk about cars, Oscar.
Oh, yeah.
For a long time now, because Oscar and I share something. We both pine for ridiculously wonderful automobiles, and we both know we're not going to get them because we're fiscally responsible.
And I would say that I don't think we're the only ones. I know when I tell people that I build cars or price them out just to pass the time,
it's virtually build virtually, a car. Yeah.
Right?
It doesn't have
it's
parts.
It's like me looking at houses down here too. I'm not going to buy them, but I look at them. I mean, that's what I do.
I look
at jukeboxes.
I think Shannon does. She's, I guess, most down to earth when she says, you're not going to ever buy one. Not because you can't or you won't. It just doesn't make financial sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you can hurl yourself.
I would like a kitchen before I would like a nice car. Right. And what I tell her, I was like,
That's so sad.
It's not about that. It's about just seeing what people are selling or seeing if you could get like a great build and what that would actually cost.
There is a, I'm sorry, but you made me think about this when you mentioned kitchens, because there is a company down here that remodels kitchens.
Yeah.
And they're the big enchilada. They're called Cornerstone. And they come down here and the guy does like 1,000 TV commercials.
Sure. Bet, yeah.
When they get money, that's what they do. And he's this big, giant guy that comes in with a New York accent. I moved to Florida because I wanted the. We've seen God do such wonderful work in our lives. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, no, right, that's their technique?
He plays the Christian card. Yes,
sure.
He does. Good for him. And just a big, big guy.
Did you know in heaven they use
grandkids on anymore, which is great.
What? Do you know in heaven they have Corian countertops?
But to throw those away, get the granite. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll wow you.
Oh, so.
All right, go ahead.
In that same breath, I stumbled upon a new vehicle that I am now, I would say, just eyeing every day. And it's more like a motorcycle than an actual vehicle.
Oh.
And as you know, I have my motorcycle license. I got it through the show.
That's right.
I think that while I might not be a no helmet guy, I also enjoyed wearing a helmet and riding with no phone calls coming in, no drama, just being alone and quiet.
That a lot of times,
it got me through a very difficult time in my life. It really did. Just being out on the open road.
A lot of times at Podcast Village in the afternoons, you know, when you've stepped away, Oscar will wear a helmet around the building. He likes it.
Well, that's a security measure.
How's
let's
that?
Be honest with that.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. It was recommended.
Right. So I stumbled upon a And I don't know if you, Mike, I don't know if you classify this as a trike, but it's a three-wheeler, and it's called a Vanderhall Speedster.
Oh, yeah, they used to make those. They were called the Diaz.
No, when you see this.
Comes with a towel.
It is not, right. But it's not your traditional trike. It's a throwback to the yesteryear, almost like a Grand Prix vehicle, but it's a motorcycle.
Is the two wheels in the front or the two wheels in the back? Because I've seen them both.
Two wheels in the front. Yes.
Okay.
And I got so into this. They just had the Washington Auto Show here a little later in the year, and they had a rep there. And I've been trying to leave work to go to the auto show to actually see this thing. It's like 30K.
Now, would you use this around D.C.?
Would you zoom around the city? Would you go out to Virginia? Zoom around the city.
Would you take it out on like Route 66?
I would probably not do that.
All right. But so this is more of a toy. I thought you were really looking at automobiles.
I was. And then I realized that's not
going to
happen.
What is your dream automobile? Like if you have right now, and I'm talking about realistically, like realistically you could get what you want.
But he really, really wants.
You have to factor the dick factor in. I really believe that. I mean, when people say, oh,
with Oscar, that's understood though.
There's a guy that comes in to this shopping center we were visiting, and he had like a convertible Bentley, and then there was a Rolls Royce. That to me, even with all the money in the world, is such an ostentatious display that I don't know whether I'd want to deal with the crap that came along with it. However, there are plenty of sports cars that, you're a cool guy in a sport car. I'm just curious, what is your dream scenario?
It's between, I would say, a AMG GT, which is you can get one roughly at lowest price you can find one right now is probably $80,000.
That's an AMG GT. AMG is Mercedes.
Yes, Mercedes AMG GT.
Oh, so it's two-seater, not AMC, Mike. I was thinking like the old days. It's not an AMC.
Like the Pacer.
The Pacer's a wonderful car. I think
it was a great, great automobile.
Was the Matador an AMC product?
I think the Matador might have been or was it the Dodge Matador?
I'll check.
Yes, please do. And don't forget, when my mother got this car with my dad, this is when my dad's balls began to slightly recede.
Yes.
And they came home with a Plymouth Valiant.
Ugh.
And I had, I didn't know the term at that time, but I would have screamed FML as I stood in the garage. It's a man who bought a Cougar XR7 in 1969, and he comes driving in with a Plymouth Valiant. I'll never forget that. Well, they were cost cutting. Yes, Oscar.
The AMC Matador. It was an AMC product.
AMC Matador. Okay, very good. The Matador.
There, and then there's a Lexus LC500, which is cost prohibitive as well, where you could get one, I think, a used one now, if you're lucky, like mid-$80,000. But that, none of that makes sense.
Mike, the Matador became AMC's largest automobile following the discontinuation of the flagship car, the AMC Ambassador.
Okay, thank you very much. Anyway, moving right along, I really have to say this. I can actually, from memory, take you all the way back to my high school years and go through cars owned by my family.
Oh, wow.
All the way up through cars that I own now. Okay?
All right.
I can do this. And I had some great cars back when I was a success, before I failed. I had some wonderful,
Mike,
wonderful
automobiles. I think you should really say, you haven't failed. That's so final. Just say you're failing.
All right, let me go back to, I don't know what kind of Ford it was, but it was an old enough Ford where it looked like a state police car. It was a black,
probably,
it was a black
Galaxy,
Ford.
Probably a Galaxy.
I'm not sure, but it was a black Ford, and my father used to like take it on the highway because people thought he was a cop.
Yeah.
My dad is just like me. You know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. He liked that. Then, and I'll probably be skipping some, but we will flash forward to my high school years because that's when I was a little kid. We had the greatest car my father ever owned, the Cougar XR7. Mm. All right. And then my sister, right around that time, shortly thereafter that, later on, she purchased, this is in no particular year order, so don't try to call me on that. Kathy, when she got one of her first, because she was working at Spencer Drugs, and she saved up for a down payment, she got herself a Mercury Capri.
Oh, cool.
Oh, that's a good little car.
And she got in a car accident. We had, at one point, we had a Cordoba, a Chrysler Cordoba.
With fine Corinthian leather?
With fine Corinthian leather, which is this big box Lincoln kind of, that was the most luxurious car we have. We had a dad's Cougar XR7. Then we had a Plymouth Sebring, which was kind of a jacked up car.
Yeah.
kind of had an eight in it. Had an eight in it, and it was kind of fast. I used to race Joey Pacer with his father's Delta 88.
They brought that back a little while ago, I think, with a convertible model. Mm-hmm. They brought the Sebring back.
Now we move into that Plymouth Sebring got me to college, and when I came back, my parents gave me the Sebring. They bought a new car, like a sensible car. I don't remember what that one is. I had the Sebring, and then when I got out of school, I took the Sebring, and I was able to use it for a down payment on my very first automobile. My very first automobile, as we left the engine running on the Sebring and went into JKJ Chevrolet's used car department, was a Ford Fiesta. Yeah, I know what you're saying. Stunning. Beautiful.
That's beautiful. Vintage. And named, Mike, the name itself says right. Fun.
Party.
Silver Ford Fiesta.
Oh, that silver got me down is to, nice.
Yeah, that got me down to Annapolis. Mm. Now, this is where the career starts to get a little traction, and you'll notice that by slight increments, the cars begin to get better and better.
Okay.
All right? And then they will start to go in the other direction again. Right? So here's how it happened. Then I get my first, that's a used car, I get my first new car.
Always exciting.
I trade the Ford Fiesta in on a Toyota Starlet.
Wow, that's a
Toyota.
That's
Starlet.
A smaller Toyota.
I have looked this car up.
Mm-hmm. A Toyota Starlet.
What color was it?
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, you got that right. What a
what
car.
Color?
What color?
White.
Okay.
White nice. Toyota Starlet.
Didn't kind look too Corolla, much like a rental car.
Kind of a hatchback Corolla.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then I get my first real car. Mm. I trade the Toyota Starlet on a Mitsubishi Cordia Turbo, orange.
Look yeah, at you.
I'm a smart guy.
Yeah.
I'm a smart guy. Things continue to go well. I trade the Mitsubishi Cordia Turbo. Then it goes to an Acura Legend, the two-door.
Yes.
The two-door, when Acuras were the thing. That was the really cool, and I got that. I trade the Acura Legend on a Mitsubishi VR4, the sports car, the Mitsubishi 3000 VR4.
GT.
Yeah. The 3000 GT.
Did that have a spoiler
VR4.
On the back?
I don't know if it did or not. But it's a very difficult transaction.
That was a car ahead of its time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a difficult transaction. They tried to bake me over $400 when the deal almost fell through. In between, I get out of that and I get a Jeep. Then I get a big contract and I get a Mercedes SL. I get the greatest car to this day I will ever own.
Really?
Oh, God. Yes, it was so beautiful. It's such a pleasure. Yeah. Anytime you send me on an errand in that car. Back in my intern days, it was a pleasure.
I thought I would love that. So one of my friends, his wife has one, right? And he picked me up one day. I was like, oh, this is the new SL. And I got it and he goes, doesn't it feel a little small? And I said, and he's not a big guy.
Right.
But
they've made them smaller maybe, right?
I think they're smaller now.
I think because they might be a little smaller on the inside.
Yeah. I remember it being roomy on the inside. I mean, it was a two-seater, but I mean, there was lots of width and everything. It was
by the way, side note, I took my Jeep to a Jiffy Lube when I was working at WAVA. They didn't put the cap back on the oil case, and I seized the car out on 395 right next to the FBI in the middle of downtown Washington.
Fun day. Fun
that
day.
That model SL that you had, though, is iconic.
Yeah.
With the body style that you had.
Beautiful. I trade the SL on a family car, but a luxury family car on a Jag 12-cylinder, which was the lemon of my life. The most difficult, problematic car, broke down all the time, had terrible problems with it. And then, I'm not going to bore you with the rest because it went into a series of poopy SUVs.
That's the dealership you bought them at, right?
Yes. Culminating in last year's purchase of a brand new Subaru Forester. Yes, but it's new. It's new. Stick shift.
I want to hate on all these other cars. Mm-hmm. But you actually did not mention your, before we move forward, you did not mention what your dream car would be.
Yeah.
Ah, all right. The dream car, if I could get any car, I would get an Aston Martin. I would get an Aston Martin sports car in any incarnation. I love Aston Martins because I want to be on the that HBO show, whatever that one is.
But
you like
could
to
get
so
I can get an Aston Martin
with Turtle.
You can get an Aston Martin from Entourage.
Entourage.
Yeah.
You can get an Aston Martin that's I would say 10 years old for less than $50,000 these days.
Yes. Yeah, I know, but you haven't looked at the bank account. I still want to educate my son. Thank you. We have to take a break.
To be fair, Oscar, it would have to be much, much, much less than $50,000. $2,000.
It really depends on the year.
I want to get a better internet connection. We'll take a break, come back with news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey, Paulie, did you hear about this Stunad who tried to imitate us in a promo?
Yeah, and if he's not careful, he may be sleeping with the fishes.
Hope he doesn't start his car anytime soon.
We both do great promos, and we keep Papa Mike laughing. That's what it's all about.
True dat, Paisano. And if you want to keep laughing, buy a bonus show subscription today. It's a whole lot of funny.
You mean it's an extra hour of comedy?
Well, it's very funny.
It's an extra hour comedy.
It's funny.
It's an extra hour comedy.
Funny.
Extra hour.
Funny.
Extra
hour. These two will never learn. Everyone knows that my promos are the best. Okay. After all, I'm that guy. Do your part to support hilarity. Buy a bonus show subscription today. And now, back to Mike.
Okay. That guy.
I'm that guy.
Oh, wow. All right. Welcome back to the show. This portion of the Mike O'Mara Show brought to you by ZipRecruiter.
Yes.
Hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect with qualified candidates. That place is ZipRecruiter.com/CMOS. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply for your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. Right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter and do it for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. Remember that, ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. Remember one more time, ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire, ladies and gentlemen.
News.
Blues.
Researchers at NYU recently combed through 8,000 websites to find out what people know or think they know about getting a good night's sleep. They have discovered the 5 most common sleep myths.
Ah!
Number 5, drinking alcohol for bed helps you sleep before bed. No, that's not true. That's a myth. It doesn't do that.
Counterpoint, right? It does.
Thank you.
That's
thank
how
you
much very much.
You don't get as much deep sleep, Rob,
oh, okay,
when you've been drinking.
All right.
So you're more likely to wake up feeling tired.
Mm, okay. It happens.
You can confirm that. It happens.
How's that?
Thank you. Yeah. How's that? What is it? Here you go. Myth number 4, snoring is annoying but basically harmless. That's not true. It's a myth. Loud snoring can be a sign of what Rob and I both have.
Mm-hmm.
Sleep apnea. He doesn't wear his mask. It's uncomfortable. I wear my mask religiously. I will live longer because of that. Especially if you can also hear pauses in breathing. Do you ever talk to your wife about whether she hears you pause now when
occasionally,
you snore?
Not as bad anymore.
Because you still snore, right?
Yeah, not as bad anymore. But
why is it not as bad anymore?
She says it's gotten better. But there were times that...
Magically?
I can't explain why. It's just gotten better.
But weight loss?
Certainly not.
Okay.
I have woken up when I was wearing the mask once. I woke up and she was staring at me. And I said, I'm alive. I am alive. Because I had stopped doing that noise.
With the
mask? With that noise, she was so accustomed to hearing me snore and breathe that she was scared that I perhaps passed.
Okay.
But right, I'm better. I'm better now. Yeah.
By the way, I have a little, that cleaner thing. What's that thing? We don't advertise it. We should.
Mm-hmm.
The sleep apnea mask cleaner that
yes,
they have.
I know what
I wish
you mean.
I knew the name of it. If they advertise, I'll know.
Uh-huh.
And it's got a little red light that flashes when it says, change your filter.
Yes.
Change your filter. I'll get right on that today. Myth number 3, your brain and body can adapt to less sleep. Not true. If you're not getting 7 to 8 hours a night, your body, mind and body are suffering. That's a myth, so don't buy that, okay? Donald Trump, 5 hours a night. Isn't that what he says?
Yeah, well, he shows no sign of being degraded.
Okay, thank you.
He seems fine.
Myth two.
Yes.
Great to be able to fall asleep anywhere, anytime. Everyone's jealous of people who fall asleep anywhere, but with most people, it's a sign you're not well-rested in general, meaning you're not sleeping enough or the quality of your sleep isn't good. So if you can sleep
the only people I'm jealous of are the people that can sleep on airplanes.
Oh, I wish I could.
Me too.
I have sometimes. There's nothing like it. If you can fall asleep on an airplane and wake up right before you're going to land, oh, it's the best.
Mm-hmm.
And myth number 1, 5 hours of sleep a night is fine. It's not true. They say that's the most dangerous myth about sleep because study after study shows regularly getting less than 5 hours increases your risk for heart disease and an early death. So get that 7 to 8 hours, people.
Yeah, pony.
Even if it's broken up, I think it's not a bad thing to do. So that's that. Time Magazine's annual most influential people list. Here are a few of the names. Taylor Swift. Is there a list that she's not on?
No, she's Taylor on every Swift. List.
Mm-hmm. Tiger Woods, President Trump, Robert Mueller, Ariana Grande, Brie Larson. What's she like, Wonder Woman or something like that? Where she's Shazam?
She's Wonder
or,
Woman.
She's one of no. That's the other. That's the Israeli actress.
Oh Gal Gadot. No, I'm sorry. You're right. She's
Brie Larson is Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel. I'm sorry.
Do you think Tiger would be on this list if he hadn't just won the Masters? Seems an awful fast turnaround.
You'd have to ask him.
Hello, Tiger.
And Rami Malek, the star of Bohemian Rhapsody. It's a good year for him.
Him or just his teeth?
Yeah. His teeth. Apparently, the dumb new social media trend. What is happening to... I told you, it's the age of the idiot.
Sure.
The new trend on social media is the Shell-On Challenge. Are you aware of the Shell-On Challenge?
Oh, I do not know this.
Yes. Okay, this is new. I haven't heard about this. That is when someone films themselves eating food with its shell on. That could mean eating an entire peanut, shell and all, but also includes things like eating a banana or an orange with the peel on, biting through plastic wrap to eat a sandwich, or eating the wrapper with a candy bar. Yucky, yuck, yuck, yuck. God almighty.
I saw a dimwit on YouTube biting into a box of cereal. It had like 47 million views. I hate America.
Oh, God. Yeah, this is now where I'm so glad I'm not doing a show in the 80s anymore.
Right.
Because we'd have those people in, hey, it's a Shell-On Challenge. Somebody choked to death and we'd die.
I want you to eat this banana without peeling it.
All right. We welcome Timmy from Deal, Maryland. Timmy's going to eat an entire avocado, including the pit. Yes, sir.
Do not take the wax off that wheel of cheese.
There you go. Very exciting. Apparently, let me see, an online piracy data firm called Musso says that Sunday season premiere of Game of Thrones was downloaded or watched illegally more than 54 million times in the 24 hours after it aired.
Wow, that's just illegally.
Yeah, illegally. Nielsen's tracking says the total number of legal viewers on Sunday was around 17 million. We talked about that,
yes.
I think.
Uh-huh.
That includes the viewers who watch live or one of the reruns, as well as those who streamed it on HBO's On Demand. However, Nielsen's data doesn't account for repeat viewings. Americans weren't the biggest offenders. India had the most Game of Thrones piracy,
sure.
Accounting for almost 9.5 million of the 54 million. China is number two with roughly 5.2 million. Do you think maybe because technologically they're just better at it than we are? That's why they were able to get
maybe
someone
they're
there
not
for
policed
free?
as well as the states.
And
are,
also probably not full availability of like cable or satellite over there, I would think.
The USA is third with 4 million illegal looks at the premiere.
The best part the premiere, I think, was when Jon Snow ate the brownie wrapped in foil and ate the foil too. I like that.
It was fantastic.
Are you even watching it, Rob?
No, I tried to watch the first part of it and it didn't appeal to me. I didn't
you
like it.
You would like it.
I didn't like it.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised you don't like fantasy. 6 weeks after the beloved Jeopardy host Alex Trebek informed fans that he had stage 4 pancreatic cancer, he's once again checked in with fans. He thanked everyone for all of their well wishes and says he's feeling pretty good. You know, I'm a religious watcher of James Holzhauer with this run that he's on. And I'm also, you know, feeling for Alex Trebek. We kind of watch him every night. How's he look? And everybody's doing that.
Yeah.
It's so tough to deal with the public. He addressed the rumors regarding his health and promises to be back for next season this fall. Despite what you may have heard, he said, I'm feeling good. I'm continuing with my therapy, and the show's staff is already working on our next season. So I look forward to seeing you once again in September with all kinds of good stuff, and hope he does it. Hope
yeah,
he pulls
absolutely.
It off.
It'd be a great story because, I mean, he is one of those guys that is universally loved. Mm-hmm. I mean, not a lot of people say bad stuff.
And now a little something, a 37-year-old guy in Texas named Walter Gordy was diagnosed with lymphoma about 5 years ago, and he beat it. He is now cancer-free, speaking of cancer. Then after his diagnosis, he wanted to see if he was predisposed to any other illnesses, so he took a DNA test from the 23andMe people that
there
we advertise on the Mike O'Mara Show. Meanwhile, a good friend of his named Mark Tolson also signed up for 23andMe, and after being friends for 12 years, they found out they're related.
What?
Wow. Both of them were raised by single mothers who did artificial insemination, and it turns out they chose the same donor. So Mark and Walter have the same dad, and they've been friends for 12 years, and they found that out. And by the way, 23andMe decided to do a deeper dive on that. They found out the donor was Will Ferrell. That's it.
So they're handsome. Just,
that sounded for some reason like the plot of a Will Ferrell movie. You know, John C. Reilly said, anyway.
Hey, man, we're brothers.
We're brothers. Well, who's the donor? It's Will Curly Hair Ferrell. Oh, my God. He's going to show his stomach. We'll take a break, and we'll come back with more fun on the Mike O'Meara Show.
Hey, Allison, did you know that you can ask your Amazon Alexa to play the Mike O'Meara Show?
Seriously? That's awesome. What do I have to say?
It's simple. Just say, Alexa, please, 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 with a cherry on top, I'm begging you, please, play the Mike O'Meara Show.
Now playing the Mike O'Meara Show.
Oh, did you have to sound that desperate, though?
Oh, I didn't think it sounded desperate.
I thought it was quite polite, sweet even.
Alexa, are you seeing anyone at the moment?
My creator Jeff for a while, but I'm single now, hot stuff.
What is this even a commercial for?
To tell our listeners that the Mike O'Meara Show is just an Alexa ask away. Remember, I can play the Mike O'Meara Show for you, today, and every day. All you need to do is ask Alexa.
That is so well done. Boy, I'm proud of those guys. Did you write that or did the kids write
it? No, they bring the ideas in. They do it.
Oh, that is so nice. Way to go, Allison. Way to go, Johnny. Very, very good. Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show, everybody. Brought to you by the TMOS Shopping Center. I'm feeling cute. What are you doing, man? I might go shopping later. And despite my crippling agoraphobia, shopping is easy. Thanks to the TMOS Shopping Center.
You do look cute.
What character do you wish me to play here?
No.
This is a drunken Crown Royal stupor.
This is
do
a
you
meme.
Want me to do with this?
This all is right. A meme that was all over the internet the past 2 days where you say, I feel cute, I might do something later. So we're just keeping it topical.
Cute. Yeah. I might go shopping. And despite my crippling agoraphobia, shopping is easy thanks to the TMOS Shopping Center. You see, thanks to agoraphobia, I fear and avoid places or situations that might cause me to panic and make me feel trapped, helpless, or embarrassed.
Hate that.
What a pain in the ass. But thanks to the TMOS Shopping Center, I can shop all I want from the comfort of my own dimly lit, windowless room. What's he doing at night?
Is he dropping acid or something?
Thanks to the TMOS Shopping Center, I can shop all I want from the comfort of my own dimly lit windowless room, where I am always in charge. It's on our website, and it gives you unfettered access to Walmart, Target, and Macy's. Help the show. Go to the website. Get the TMOS Shopping Center, Macy's, Target, Walmart. Now, leave me alone. Just please let me weep. Stop looking at me in that way. Thank you. Thank you very much. That's, my God. Open up the vault, please. Thank you.
Feel trapped.
Take away. Wow.
Magic audio. But Mike, presto requesto. You asked for it.
Before you go on, can I just say, keep the meds exactly where they are
nice
right
cocktail.
Now.
Of course.
Nice
thank you.
That's whatever you're doing, it's working. It's
you
really
say
working.
It. I play it. 1974. You got the name right. John Toomey. On The Tonight Show.
Okay, we talked yesterday about the hand guy.
Manualist.
Listen to his perfect pitch.
Wow.
Can you pause it?
No now, instruments. Hear, no instruments.
No, he's playing his hands. The other guy was playing his hands too, but like with singers and back
and reverb and everything.
And
yeah.
Now this guy, you can hear him, Oscar, because when he gets to a certain part, it's almost like a bagpipe getting wind because you hear him go, where he's trying to do that. That's why I wanted to stop and let Oscar listen to it. Because like, like he's pumping it up a little bit.
And while the audio is great, I invite everyone to look at YouTube of this guy because it's more of, they have a shot where you can watch Johnny Carson in the background while he's doing it.
Do you have the whole thing where he does
that? And Johnny is so thoroughly entertained.
Ha ha ha! This holds Great. Up. Here's the tough part.
Big finish coming in.
Take it home.
Yeah. Ta-da. Wow. Good stuff.
Wow.
That show, man, Best. I miss it every day.
Me too.
I really do.
Me too.
That was late night TV. I love
National
that.
National television.
He's better. Yeah, everybody was watching. Yeah, sure. It was fantastic.
That was a Friday. He's a Friday night. I'm glad you're in a good mood tonight. yeah. All right, Mike, this is pretty Florida, even by Florida standards.
Okay.
Gainesville, Florida.
Thank you for getting this. This was all over my news last night, and I hoped you'd get the audio. Can I just say one thing about
please,
this lady?
Please.
This lady, if this lady is 65, I'm 113.
I had the exact same thought.
Did not have a tooth in her head, and they said she was 65. Go ahead.
All right. Gainesville lady, she's reportedly 65. Her car is being stolen by a man in his boxer shorts. Mm. He's only wearing his boxers. But what he didn't count on is the lady used to play softball. And she has a softball bat.
Ooh.
So she protects her car with the softball bat. And I will give you the end of the story afterwards.
I grabbed my bat. I braced myself. I took that bat and hit him upside down. Paya! He said, oh! He got a big nut on his head. He was in his drawers. He didn't have no shoes on, no shirt, or nothing. He better be glad I didn't have a gun, because I would have shot him. But this is my gun right here, because I'm going.
65.
She hit him with the
65
bat,
years.
And he ran away in his boxer shorts. And guess what? The cops Pa-yow. Picked him up. Payow.
Yes, payow.
Payow.
Like payow.
Got him right. A knot on his head, Mike.
Payow. Yeah.
All yeah. right.
He was in his jaws.
We're running a little late, so let's close with this. Have you ever been to a party and you just had one too many and you say, hey, I'm just going to crash on the couch?
Yeah.
If you're that drunk, be sure you're crashing on the couch of the people that are having the party. Don't wander next door and crash on the neighbor's couch. Oh, Dateline Glasgow, this guy is so Scottish that you'll enjoy his voice. He crashed in the wrong house, but luckily the people were understanding, and when he woke up, they gave him a cup of tea and a cigarette, and he filmed this video on the morning that he was discovered in a house he had never been before. Hang on every word. This is all valid, valid logic.
This couple have woke me up, right, and went, who are you, right? And I'm like, he told him just when I was at this party last night here. And he went, no, trust me, there's no party here last night.
Uh-huh.
They've just woke up on our couch, right? Instead of getting back into the party, I went into the house next door. They're like, the party was next door. Honestly, thank you very much for being so understanding.
I'd like to quote him.
Bye, y'all.
That's your magic audio book. Have a good Thursday, everybody.
That's another one in the can. Thanks for joining us for another riveting episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. We need things from you people. You're
yes,
a participant
please.
In the Mike O'Mara Show. We need cities all around the world for the opening of the show every single week. We also love your yaks. You can call us at 888-920-6673. And we'd love to get your letters for the mailbag. Don't forget, we do that every Tuesday. So send it to Rob with two Bs at MikeO'MaraShow.com. You got that? Cities, yaks, letters for Rob.
Do it.
Do that. That's all we ask. We'd love that, and support our fine sponsors as
thank
well.
Thank you.
For Oscar Santana and Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara, thanking you for your continued amazing support for the best part of your day, the Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Bye-ya!
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
He's got to be pleased with that. The crowd is just on its feet here.
He's a Cinderella boy.
We are the music makers, and we are the dreamers of dreams.
Wait! Where are you going? I was going to make espresso.
Goodbye, Judy.